Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to a special Sunday night edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I am, of course, William Ammo. What's up, Mac? What's going on?
Hey, man. I'm good. How's it going?
I'm doing all right, man. Glad to be here with you, as always.
Yeah, glad to be on, as usual.
And we are very glad to be with you guys on this special night. Just a few weeks away from the season premiere of Sports Urban Legends. So hopefully you guys and ladies will tune in to that episode. But with that said, before we dive into the future, let's stick with this episode right here. And, you know, we got a good show for you all. We're going to unfortunately talk about the Liberty, which Mac had a first-person view of that loss, that historic loss. We're gonna dive right into it. We're gonna preview the Knicks the upcoming Knicks season, battling their rival Celtics. We're also going to talk about the Giants getting a big win, which is going to, prepare them for the Meadowlands matchup, the Snoopy Bowl, you know, the real-life Snoopy Bowl matchup between your Giants and my Jets. You know, we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the potential World Series matchups and these NLCS and ALCS matchups between, of course, Texas Rangers and the Houston Astros, and of course, the Phillies and the D-backs. And of course, we'll talk about, you know, wrestling. We'll talk about TNA is, they're going to get their name back. We'll go get more into that. And of course, what's going on in wrestling and everything else in the world of sports and entertainment. You all know the deal. And if you all would like to talk to us, please feel free to call us at 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. You know the deal. We'd love to hear from you. But with that said, today's episode is called Gimme Liberty or Gimme Another Aces WNBA Title Win. I wanted the Liberty to finally win their first ever WNBA title, but unfortunately we got another Las Vegas WNBA title win. And what can we say? The ladies, they played hard. They got to their first WNBA title in 20 years. The ladies kind of got cold at the end. Even Sabrina Ionescu puked, before the game ended. And they had 10 seconds left with the ball, and it was no good. And somebody rebounded the ball, but laid it in, but it was too late. And the Aces, won back to back for the title, which hasn't happened in a while. And the Liberty has to go back to the drawing board. But more importantly, let's talk to you, Mac, because you was there. You were front center. This was, I believe, your first WNBA game, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Say that again? Was this my first one?
Was this your first WNBA game?
No. I've been to previous Liberty games at the Garden before.
Okay.
So, no, this was probably my third or fourth WNBA game. The last one before this one, WNBA game that I saw was when Cappy Pondexter was on the team. Mm-hmm. That was probably like a decade ago. Mm-hmm. So it's been a while since I've actually watched the Liberty in person, but they've had such a great season this year, and they're in the finals. Mm-hmm. Decided to go ahead and purchase a ticket to see this game. And, mind you, they're down 2-1 coming into this game, and I thought, they had a good chance, being at home to tie up the series, but proved to be a disappointing ending, for the Liberty. But they were in it throughout this whole game, at one point they were leading by double digits,
12.
I think, 12. By 12 points, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it just looked like they couldn't take advantage. They couldn't take advantage of, scoring opportunities. They were missing some layups, missing threes. They let the Vegas get back into the game. And Vegas was missing a couple of their players. They were missing Keo Stokes and their superstar point guard, Chelsea Gray. And so, the Liberty, they had a chance to, run away with this game, but they never did. Stewart, her shooting was off, even though I think she finished with a double-double, but she didn't crack 20 points, I don't think. So she kind of struggled a bit offensively. And Sabrina, in the second half, scored a bit for us, got us back into the game. But she even struggled a little bit in this game and throughout the series. So I think Liberty offensively they weren't great in the series at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the first two games in the series, they weren't good defensively.
Right.
So that's what potentially cost them the series. And disappointing ending to a great season, but you know, you got to give it up to Vegas. Vegas, they're defending champs, and they were just better. And Asia Wilson, man, she's like, she was a beast. She was pretty much carrying the Aces on her back. And she showed the world why she's a former MVP and Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, phenomenal performance by Adrian Wilson. She was 24-16, so she dominated. Like
she dominated offensively and defensively. She did a great defensive job also against Arsena. I'm forgetting her name.
Jonquel Jones.
Yeah, Jonquel Jones. Jones didn't have a good game.
Yeah,
so that was because
11.
Of Wilson. Yeah. So you got to give credit to Wilson on that. Wilson pretty much dominated this game on both ends.
Yeah, man.
Brianna
Stewart, I think, was like 6-0 coming into that game in big game, like
elimination games.
Yeah, elimination games, and unfortunately, she got her first loss. At the Barclays Center, you know, her first year with the Liberty. But they're good news with the Liberty and Stewart. They're going to give her the franchise tag, so you know they expect her to be in a Liberty uniform, you know, in many years.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. Courtney Vandersloot, she was the top scorer for the Liberty with 19 points, 6 assists, and 7 rebounds. Brianna Scoot, she went, like you said, double-double, 10 points and 14 rebounds.
Yeah.
And Lainey, she scored 15 points. And then in school, she scored 13. And, she puked. You know, before the game was over, man, like that. You know, if you puke and you win the game, I mean that makes it look gutsy, you know. But you puking before you know the game, you lose the game. You know, it goes off like this vibe, like you choke. But I mean, obviously she played her heart out. They all did, but yeah, it was just a tough loss. They lost by the final score 70-69. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think Jones rebounded the ball and then laid it up, but the time just expired, if I'm not mistaken. And
I think it was a missed shot by Vandersloot. You talking about the ending?
Yeah, someone missed a shot, and then I think Jones rebounded the ball, but the game was already over and laid it in.
Yeah.
When the
I think she missed it though. I think she missed the layup.
Yeah, they missed. Missed the layup, and then she got the ball, but by the time she got the ball and tried to lay it up, and then the time just expired. So they almost could have won that game, but
the shot should have went to either Sabrina or Stewart. Vandersloot was the one that took the last shot in the corner, and then Jones rebounded and she caught it, and by the time she wouldn't have made it. She probably wouldn't have made it anyway. But she tried to make a layup at the end, but the time already expired. So, Liberty, you know, they had their chances. And, you know, it is what it is. You got to give credit to Aces. They're just a much better team.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I was watching the game on ESPN. And the coach was talking. I think she was saying like that the plan was for Enescu or Stewart to have the ball, but you know the Aces, you know they had it well scouted.
They shut them down. Yeah,
they shut them down.
Yeah.
And the Aces are back to back champions. So, reluctantly, congratulations to them. Kelsey Plum, she scored, you know, only 7 points, but, you know, she, I don't know if you saw her, you know, she congratulated her husband who played on the Giants, you know.
Waller. Darren Waller.
Yeah, so, I guess in a sense the Giants won, technically, I guess. But, Yeah, Jackie Young scored 16 points. And, yeah, basically the Aces, they went back-to-back.
Yeah, congrats to them. You know, they deserved it. Hopefully Liberty will be back next year. And they'll be holding, they'll be the ones holding up the trophy.
Yep, and congrats to Aces. They're the first team to repeat since 2001. And, yeah, it was just a crazy finish at the Barclays Center. And, yeah, apparently there was a little controversy. You know, the players on the court, you know, in their celebration were talking smack to the Liberty. And then apparently the Liberty called Kelsey Plum's, you know, saying as, you know, they took it as classless.
What did she say?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to look what she said.
I didn't hear about this.
Oh, yes, yes. Plum said there was a lot of years that we weren't so super, but you can't build a super team in a couple of months. It takes years. And she also, Plum also questioned the Liberty's mentality. She said, "We also knew that as much as they are a team, they're not a team, if that makes sense. They're really good individual players, but they don't care about each other. And you can tell in those moments, they revert back to individual basketball." Here's what Jonquel Jones said. "I think it's easy to kick people when they're down and you're up. And honestly, to me, it felt classless. You don't celebrate with your team, and you could celebrate with your team, and instead you choose to essentially S on someone else." And here's what NSQ said. "I've never been on a team that has more, that have been more committed to one another than what it's been like this year. We had players that came together in a short amount of time to try to win." And here's what Breonna Stewart said. "Win or lose, we just continue to carry ourselves with grace and keep that going forward." And this is what the head coach of the Liberty, Sandy Brondello, said. "I don't even think I should comment because I know it's not true. This team has grown so close together in a short period of time, and what Kelsey said is wrong." And then this is Plum's rebuttal about, you know, the controversy with her comment. "Since the media wants to do clickbait, I'm going to cut this drama out right now so we can move on and be in peace." She wrote this on X. "What I said was taken extremely out of context. I was trying to articulate my teammates, and I have been through a lot, and we've used our bond to get over the hump." There's, I guess, a little bit more what she has to say. "Never been the type to throw shade. Quite the opposite, actually. I see how it came off. Never was my intention, and I apologize. Our game grew immensely from this series. Don't let this bull, you know, BS distract you from the biggest win here." All right, Max, you was there, you know, at the thing. What's your thought?
I mean, I didn't hear about this trash talking that I'm not hearing about, so I can't.
Right.
I mean, I really can't comment on that too much. But I mean, if she did try to throw a bit shade, that is a bit classless on her part, because Liberty. I thought they showed class and respect to the Aces throughout the series, so that would be pretty much unfortunate and distasteful for Plum to, you know, kick the Liberty while they were down, and they lost the series, so there's no need to trash talk, you know. So
right. That's
all I can say about that.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what she's saying, like, you know, a super team isn't like built. You know, it takes time to build chemistry. I understand that part, but her winning and saying that, it kind of does look like she was kicking dirt in their face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, what can we say? Like, this looks like this is going to be the beautiful beginning of a rivalry. You know, it looks like they're going to have this rivalry. And now the Liberty has a chance next year to potentially stop their potential three-peat and avoid a dynasty. But they got work to do. They got to get back to the, you know, get back. I mean, it's a whole new ball game. And the Aces, they were Aces. They were the queen of Aces of the WNBA.
And yeah.
You got to tip your hat to them. They defended the title back to back, you know. So now Liberty got to get back to the drawing board.
That's right.
But yeah, shifting gears to their former brother franchise, the New York Knicks. New York Knicks, they had a tough loss themselves in the playoffs. You witnessed it also. I witnessed it also too.
Yeah, you were there.
Yeah.
Were you? Yeah.
Yeah, I was. But I'm saying you were in both of these finals.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, technically, I mean, it was on the road, but we saw the viewing at the Garden.
Right.
So that was the closest we could get to it. But yeah, the Knicks, man, they're not playing. You know, they lost in the Eastern Conference Finals to the Heat, and now the Heat is on, but it's not with Miami. They're going back to their old school rival, the Boston Celtics. They're going to be hosting them Wednesday night at the Garden against the Celtics. So, yeah, man, they're going right into the pressure cooker right here, man.
Why does it feel like we're always playing the Celtics on opening night now?
It does, man. They want us to start 0-1 every year. That's
real.
What they want.
Although 3 years ago we did beat them in the season opener. Remember that wild game that went to two or three overtime?
Oh yeah, that was when we had the bing bong and
yeah,
you know,
and Evan Fournier's debut.
Yeah, that whole controversy, you know, the bing bong, and it was a short rally cry. But yeah, let's see what the Knicks are gonna do against the Celtics.
Yeah.
They got a big week coming up. They got Celtics on Wednesday. They got the Hawks. You know, you're gonna see Trae Young over there. They're another playoff rival. Then they're gonna stay on the road after Atlanta. They're gonna go to the Pelicans, to New Orleans. And then they're going to go to Cleveland and, face the Cavaliers on Tuesday night. So, oh, yeah, as a matter of fact, they're going to have a home and home. So Tuesday night, Halloween, they're gonna be on the road against the Cavaliers. And then they're going to come back November 1st and host the Cavaliers. And then next Friday night, they're going to be on the road against the Bucks in Milwaukee. So, Knicks, they're not playing, man. You know, they're gonna be facing all these tough teams, and then, of course, they're gonna be seeing Donovan Mitchell back-to-back games after they eliminated them in the playoffs. You know, and then of course November 3rd, next Friday, they're gonna be seeing Giannis and their newly formed team. Damian Lillard, right, there you go, Damian Lillard, man, this is, they're not playing, man, they really want us to go on the losing streak, thanks NBA, but you know what, the Knicks have improved, you know, they got DiVincenzo, you know, they got that Villanova connection, plus, you know, they're going to try to gel from the team, and RJ Barrett feels like this is the most confident he's been entering into a season than he's ever been. So, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, the Knicks, hopefully the Knicks are as hungry as the Knicks fans are, because it's been over 50 years since we had a title. So let's see what the Knicks are going to do here.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to this season to see how Brunson does in his second year as a Knick. If Randle... You know, Randle had a very good season last year, although in the playoffs, again, he struggled a bit. So we'll see how he does and see how this team, you know, comes back after that second round exit. I mean, they overshot expectation, I think, last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they
so
did.
Hopefully this year they'll be even better. We'll see what the season holds.
Yeah, man. Hopefully we can get to the Eastern Conference Finals this time.
Let's hope so.
At the very least. You know, let's put, you know, the building blocks in place and hopefully improve this team, man, because, you know, we got to set the foundation. So hopefully, you know, we could get some star players to come over here and take us over the top, you know. You know, we assume maybe potentially Donovan Mitchell, when he's free, you know, he'll come join us and elevate us. And then maybe a trade with Joel Embiid, who knows? I mean, we'll see what's going to happen with this franchise, because forever,
yeah,
they've always been rumored to get, oh, this guy's going to come over here, this guy want to come over here, this guy's going to get traded over here, and nobody ever comes. And literally the only person that wanted to come here in the last, 20 years at least was Donovan Mitchell, and he wasn't a free agent.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so, you know, obviously Jazz traded him to Cleveland. We knocked him out, but, you know the Cavs are going to use that as bulletin board material. So.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that. Time will tell what happens, and hopefully the Knicks can get off to a great start, and hopefully this will propel them into a deep round in the playoffs. But like I just said, time will tell.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, and speaking of time will tell, the Giants, you know, they finally got a W, got their second win of the season when they hosted their rival, the Washington Commanders, and back-to-back games. Tyrod Taylor, you know, he was the starting quarterback, but this time, you know, he got them to a victory. He threw for 18 of 29 for 279 yards and got the two touchdowns, which obviously proved to be the game winner since they won by the final score of 14-7. And on the losing end, Sam Howell, he didn't have a great game at all, threw 22 for 42 for 240 yards with the interception, and yeah, that's all she wrote. So, you know, Giants need to win this game, even though they have a huge hill to climb, 2-5, and you know, they're going to be facing they're going to be hosting the Jets next week. So what's your thoughts on today's win and this upcoming Jets matchup?
Yeah, it was a great win today. They looked much better than they did the first 5-6 weeks in the season. They pressured the Washington Commanders quarterback. He didn't give him much time to throw the ball. That's why he struggled a bit. And they moved the ball well offensively. Yeah, I mean, on both sides of the ball, the Giants played well. This was probably the best game of the season, I think. So kudos to them. And now we have a... another big game coming up with the Jets. So that's going to be another test for us because the Jets haven't played well also. So, yeah, hopefully things are looking up for the Giants. We'll see.
Yeah, you're right, man. This is a big game for the Giants, and now they're going to be hosting the Jets. And shifting gears to the Jets, they're going to have the real-life Snoopy Bowl because, you know, every preseason – they have that, you know, preseason game between both teams, and they call it the Snoopy Bowl because obviously it's MetLife Stadium, which, you know, obviously the Peanut characters, most notably Snoopy, is the mascot of MetLife, you know, the Charlie Brown Show, for those who might not know. But, yeah, this is the real-life Snoopy Bowl right here. Or I should say maybe the Super Bowl would be the real life Snoopy Bowl, but yeah, the Jets, you know, they've been playing great lately, yeah, they, you know, after they beat the Broncos, you know, the Hackett game the Hackett revenge game when they won 31-21. And then afterwards, the Jets shocked the world and beat the Eagles, where their defense, like, really showed up and showed out. And they won 20-14. Now they're going to be hosting the Giants. I mean, actually, they're going to be technically on the road against the Giants, even though obviously we share the same stadium. But yeah, the Jets need this momentum as well. You know, something's got to give. Giants finally got a win to their second win of the season, and the Jets, they're going to try to win three in a row. So both teams really need this win. You know, Jets need this win to keep this momentum going. And of course, the Giants, you know, their season is on the line this early. So yeah, this should be a classic game coming up. So we'll see what happens, you know, in the future. Or should I say on Sunday afternoon at MetLife Stadium. But shifting gears to some games that have significantly more importance, and of course we're talking about the MLB playoffs, and of course we got the battle of the two Texas teams, the Rangers, and the Astros. The Rangers was up 2-0. Looked like they were gonna go to the World Series for the first time in a while, probably since they had Ron Washington probably as the manager. Hold on, folks. The Rangers, they started Max Scherzer, and Max Scherzer was pitching the way he was pitching with the Mets, you know, in big games, you know, and they got their butt kicked. They only went four innings, gave up five runs, and then the Rangers lost that game 8-5, and now you can see the momentum is shifting right here after they lost that game. Then, you know, the Astros have won three straight games in a row, and now the Astros are up 3-2. You know, the Rangers have blown a couple of games here, most notably Game 5, and Altuve hit a monster three-run home run which proved to be the game winner. So the Astros look like they're gonna try to go back to back too. They're gonna be like the Aces, and try to go back to back championships. What's your thoughts on that? Oh, it looks like Mac, we lost Mac. You know, he'll call us back. I don't think it's because he's PO'd that the Astros is one win away from going back to the finals. You know, he hates the Astros since he's a huge Yankee fan. He's back. Hello, Mac. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right. Yeah, I was explaining to the fans, to the listeners, that you know, I was basically telling them that you know there must have been some technical difficulties, because I don't think you're PO'd because the Astros are one win away from going to the finals if you hang up. So just say your thoughts on this whole ALCS matchup.
I mean, I haven't been watching it. The series, I haven't been watching the MLB playoffs that much anyway, because, you know, my team, the Yankees, aren't in it. But I've heard that it's been a wild series so far between the Rangers and Astros. Rangers, they won the first two, then the Astros won the next two, and then on Friday night, Rangers were leading into the eighth, I believe. They were leading, 4-2 or something like
correct.
That?
Yeah, correct.
And then you had Altuve come up, two men on in the eighth, and he hits that 3-run home run. And Altuve is like, he's one of the greatest clutch players in the postseason.
in postseason history, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't even know why they pitched him, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
If I'm a pitcher in that scenario, I'd probably walk him. And then, you know, try to see if I can get a double play and then get three outs that way. But, yeah, you should, in a spot like that, you probably should never pitch to him.
He's like the modern-day Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you can't – in a big spot like that, you can't – like, you gotta be real smart to face them. Or, hey, like, even – like you said, walk them, as controversial as that is, man, because this guy is – super clutch. He's not just clutch. He's super clutch, man. Like, you can't, like, you could barely get him out. Like, it's crazy. Yeah, so now the Astros look like they were going to get knocked out, and then they want the Rangers started Scherzer, and then, you know, mind you, this isn't Scherzer Nationals and you know, Tigers and all those other teams, you know, he's been basically ever since that Dodger playoffs, you know, he hasn't been the same. You know, he's getting older. You know, he can't go as he used to. You know, Father Time is whooping his butt behind, you know, right now. Yeah, this is basically the Scherzer we saw last year in the playoffs and against the Braves that September, you know. Scherzer is historically a clutch pitcher, but, you know, it's time for him to hang it up. I mean, I think
he'll have one more chance. He might have one more chance here.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd start him. I don't know. I mean, he's an all-time great pitcher. But I don't know if I want to start him with my season on the line.
Maybe use him as a reliever if you need him.
I suppose you could, but I don't know, man. He's not the same guy anymore. But I mean, I guess you know, you have a guy like that in your bullpen. If he's on, you know, he could be an X factor, but yeah, man, he looks washed up now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sad to see a great pitcher like that. You know, he don't have it no more, and I don't know. I don't know if he's denying it, or, you know, he has a huge contract and, you know, he's trying to fulfill it. But yeah, man, he hasn't been aces. I mean, he's still going to Cooperstown, but this is you know, he's listening to some. He might as well go home and listen to Compa, you know. Right now, it's over. It looks over for him.
Well, you know, they still. Right now, the Astros lead the series 3-2. And, you know, Rangers still, they're not done yet. I mean, they need to win two games here, even though it's going to be in Houston. It's going to be pretty tough.
Oh, yeah.
But the Rangers, man, they've been good throughout this postseason, except for these last three games. I think they can force a game 7 here.
Yeah, that's the most important thing they need to do. They need to force a game 7. You force a game 7, anything is possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Astros, they're playing with house money, literally and figuratively speaking, you know. So if I was them, you know, you try to shut them out game 6. Don't let it go to game 7, cuz anything can happen game 7. But yeah. Houston's at home. They're in the advantageous part. But, yeah, the only thing that would have made this series better is if Houston was still a National League team and this would have been the World Series. But, you know, this is the best that the two Texas teams can have, you know, facing each other. So this is a epic series. So we'll see if it'll be forced into a Game 7. And So yeah, that game is going to be game six is going to be tonight, starting at 8 o'clock. So yeah, we'll definitely let you all know next week how that's going to be. And then on the other side, the flip side, the National League, you got the Phillies leading 3-2 to the D-backs. And D-backs, you know, they were playing well against the Dodgers, knocked them out. And, of course, the Phillies, they knocked out the Braves. The Braves had won, like, what, 100 games? And they got knocked out, like, 2 years in a row from by the Phillies. It looks like deja vu all over again. The Phillies were up 2-0. Then the D-backs came back. You know, they thought it was 2001, starting winning some games back-to-back. And then, you know, the Phillies, Schwarber, he hit like two home runs. I think Harper hit one as well. Yeah, congrats to Kyle Schwarber, the guy the Mets should have went after and signed for the DH instead of trading for Vogelback. But that's another story for another time. And, yeah, this guy, congratulations to him. He has, like, I think at least 20 home runs in the postseason. So that surpasses Mr. October, Reggie Jackson, time home runs list in the postseason. And, yeah, the Phillies, man. The Phillies, man, they just don't want to die, you know. You just can't knock them out, man. And the D-backs, man, they
yeah,
the D-backs,
right now.
You know, they showed some heart coming back those last two games, but yeah, man, they should have left home with the 3-2 lead. Now Phillies, man, I don't think Phillies is gonna lose these two games, let alone game six tomorrow afternoon. I don't see that happening. So, what's your thoughts on this series?
Looks like D-backs might pull this off. D-backs might actually pull this off. Looks like it. I was thinking Phillies, but Phillies, they might be in trouble. They might be in trouble.
Say that?
Yeah, because I think the D-backs are playing with, I think right now the D-backs are just playing fearless baseball right now. You know, I think they could take it. I mean, I was leaning towards Phillies, but what I'm seeing from the D-backs recently, I think they can take the series. Call me crazy.
I hope you are crazy, because Game five, man, they didn't. Zach Wheeler, my former pitcher, who should still be on the Mets if Steve Cohen was the owner at the time instead of the Wilpons, Wheeler would have been on the Mets right now.
Yeah.
But you know, he shut them down, and then of course the Phillies' powerful offense is just as great as their pitching. And, you know, they shut down the D-backs 6-1. So I hope that right now your predictions seem crazy, you know, but, you know, the D-backs are still in it. It's a do-or-die situation. They got to win tomorrow afternoon and then force a game seven potentially on Tuesday night. But, yeah, winning two games in Philly is going to be tough. But hopefully the D-backs can do it, man. If they historically could win some games in the series against the Yankees 20-something years ago, who knows?
Yeah, I think the D-backs series against the Yankees, that was a much better team, by the way.
Oh yeah,
but,
of course. Heck yeah.
But yeah, way better. Yeah, way better. But
I mean, you beat the Yankees. I mean, that's all you need to say how good
yeah.
the team was.
But I think this D-back team, I think they're playing fearless, and they have a chance. I mean, I'm not saying that they will. Mm-hmm. Beat them, but, you know, there's a chance that they could come back and still win the series. So we'll see.
Yeah, let's hope. Hopeful. Yeah, but my predictions is it looks like it's going to be an Astro-Philly series. I hope Rangers can pull it off. I hope it's a Rangers D-back series, but I don't think, as usual, another year in a row, I don't think I'm gonna get what I want. I think we're gonna get a rematch of the last year's World Series.
Yeah, it might happen.
But yeah, that's baseball right there for you. Shifting gears. I don't know if you heard, but TNA officially is going to change back to its original name to TNA Wrestling. For the last couple of years, it was, you know, Impact Wrestling. For whatever reason, they changed the name. But starting with its first pay-per-view event, Hard to Kill, on January 13, 2024, they are going to change their name back to TNA Wrestling. What's your thoughts on that? Matthew, can you hear us? I guess Mac is speechless. But I guess I'll tell you all, ladies and gentlemen, about what happened at the Bound for Glory event that went down yesterday, or I should say, yeah. Here's what happened. Will Ospreay defeated Speedball Mike Bailey. Jordan Grace won the Call Your Shot Gauntlet match, a 20-person intergender match. And basically, as a result, the winner gets the title match of their choosing. PCO defeated Moose, Steve Macklin, and Rhino in the Monster Ball match. Chris Sabin defeated Kenta to retain the Impact X Division Championship. ABC, which has Chris Bay and Austin, Ace Austin, defeated the Rascals, which has Miguel, Trey Miguel and Zachary Wentz, to win the Impact World Tag Team titles. Congrats. Alex Shelley defended the title against the Impact World title against Josh Alexander. And last but not least, Trinity retained the Impact Knockouts World Championship against Mickey James. So that's what happened at the Bound for Glory event. And also,
this is TNA you're talking about?
Yes, TNA.
Okay.
And TNA, I don't know if you heard, like I just mentioned a few minutes ago, TNA is going to change their name back from Impact back to TNA Wrestling.
Okay, well, that's interesting. I mean,
start next year.
I mean, TNA has fallen behind WWE and AEW right now. I mean, they're like the third promotion, and you know, they're not talked about that much. I remember when they were trying to give WWE some competition.
Oh yeah, a decade ago.
Up. Yeah,
when
and they
got
even like recruited some of the former WCW. They tried to be like WCW when they started up, if you remember, but. Yeah, I mean, they've fallen way behind, you know, WWE and AEW these days, and you don't really pay attention to that promotion anymore. I don't even know, are they still on TV right now?
I don't think so. I think you have to, like, have a special cable channel, or maybe they're on YouTube, or a combination of the two.
That's even worse.
Yeah. And speaking of TNA, former TNA champion Sting, he announced his retirement, his wrestling retirement. And
I heard about that.
Next year, just like the same year that TNA is officially regaining its name back, next year, 2024, Sting is going to, you know, have his last match. I'm trying to remember what was the name of the pay-per-view event. The pay-per-view event that it's going to be. Oh, AEW Revolution. So basically, his first match, AEW, was Revolution 2021. So he's going to try to book, he's going to bookend it with Revolution 2024 as his last match.
Oh.
So.
Should have had the last match in WWE.
Well, yeah, he should have, but, you know, he got hurt. And, you know, WWE didn't use him right. He only had, like, three matches. He had the match, the WrestleMania match against Triple H. He had that, that tag team match with John Cena against Big Show and somebody else. I can't remember. Maybe Dolph Ziggler. I don't even remember who it was. And then his final match in WWE was against Seth Rollins for the title. And, you know, that was the infamous match where he got injured and practically got paralyzed in the ring. You know, Seth Rollins hit him with, like, two buckle bombs in the ring, and he basically got paralyzed. And he nearly got paralyzed for a few seconds or minutes. And, that was the end of his short tenure with WWE. And, we never had the dream matches that you would imagine Sting would have had, especially the Undertaker versus Sting match. And, we wish him the best. You know, hopefully he'll have a great match. Maybe he'll face Edge, you know, as his last opponent. Who knows? I mean, we'll see we'll find out who he's going to face next year.
You know, I also heard that recently that Ric Flair wants to have one last match, even though he had a last match.
Exactly.
Or was it earlier this year, I think?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So he wants to have another last match.
Yeah, he regrets saying that was his last match. He wants to fight it. He wants to fight again. He felt he wasn't, you know, hydrating himself, and I guess he felt like he didn't, prepare himself for the match. He got tired or stuff. I think he even said he passed out a couple of times in the match.
Wow.
So yeah, I think he wished he had another do over, and I think he said he wants to fight Ricky Morton from from the Midnight Express, since that guy is still wrestling too.
Interesting.
I mean, it's amazing these old school guys are still fighting. Like PCO, he's an old school guy. He's I think he was the Mountie, if I'm not mistaken. The Mountie and the Quebecers.
Yeah.
So yeah, these guys are still, and of course Sting is gonna retire next year. So yeah, we have some Billy Gunn, he's wrestling still. So yeah, we still got some old school guys, wrestling in the ring. So
yeah, these senior citizens.
Yeah. So yeah. So 2024, not to mention MJF, the champion, potentially signing an extension with AEW or joining his good friend Cody Rhodes and Jade Cargill and joining WWE in the bidding war of 2024, as MJF calls it. So that's something to look forward to next year. But shifting gears to WWE, speaking of Jade Cargill, she's been popping up on all different types of shows, NXT, Raw, SmackDown. So, yeah, who knows where she's going to
start. Is she going to wrestle?
Yeah, she's going to wrestle. I mean, we just don't know if she's going to start in NXT, to get a little more seasoning under her belt, or she's going to jump right into Raw and SmackDown. Where do you think she's going to end up?
I mean, you have to put her on a big show. I mean, so I think she's going to be on Raw.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too. You know, she's been teasing, like, she looks good in red and stuff like that. And she called out Becky Lynch. And then Becky Lynch was basically saying, get in line. I mean, she also teased, going on SmackDown talking to Charlotte Flair as well. But I think she's definitely gonna go to Raw.
Yeah.
But so basically, it's a official that LA Knight is going to be facing Roman Reigns for the title at Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia. Paul Heyman, was talking to LA Knight on Friday night, and of course, LA Knight was talking smack and, wanted to send him a message because Roman Reigns speared him last week. So, basically, LA Knight basically told him that he's not going to stop until he gets the title. And so, yeah, that's, you know, going to be an interesting matchup next month in a couple of weeks. Trying to think what else happened on Raw and SmackDown. Oh, yes. SmackDown, I'm trying to remember his name again. Nick Aldis, formerly known as Magnus in TNA, the new GM, he basically kicked out Jey Uso and Adam Pearce, you know, the Raw GM, out of the building. So Adam Pearce said, "Let the games begin." So you know what this means? They're teasing, a brand war, you know, with Survivor Series coming up next month. So that should be interesting.
Interesting.
Other than that, I can't really think of anything major.
Well, Banks made her came back on SmackDown.
Repeat that.
Banks came back on SmackDown. No, not Banks. Forget her name now.
Jay Cargill.
No. I'm not forgetting names right now.
Describe her.
The female champion. The former WWE female champion.
Who, Nia Jax?
Not Nia Jax. Black with the long hair. The hair. She came back on Friday, I heard. Bianca Belair.
Oh, Bianca Belair. Okay.
Yeah, she came back on SmackDown.
Yeah, I missed that.
You didn't hear that?
I didn't watch the whole thing on SmackDown. Oh wait, I've seen some clips, but yeah, I didn't know she came back.
Yeah, she came back, and she pretty much beat up all of. I was just watching the highlights. She pretty much gave a. Yeah, she pretty much beat up. She helped out Charlotte Flair, looks like. And pretty much beat up all of Damage Control. Yeah, so Bianca Belair is back now. So now this is, ladies' division is in trouble.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
She might even team up with Charlotte Flair, what they're teasing.
Maybe after Survivor Series.
Maybe.
Matchup. Yeah, Io Sky defended her title against Charlotte Flair. And yeah, so it looks like we might have Belair versus Sky at Survivor Series. And it's going to be in Chicago. So, you know, obviously there was rumors of CM Punk coming back to WWE. But now the rumors is that WWE turned it down. So, I mean, we'll find out if CM Punk will return in WWE, which I strongly doubt it. I strongly doubt, you know, because Triple H and him never got along to begin with. And, yeah, I don't think WWE is going to go that route. And basically all the stuff CM Punk has been saying about WWE for the past 7-plus years, you know, hasn't been anything good. So I don't know. I doubt he's coming back. It would be a great surprise if that happened. But, yeah, I don't see that happening. But, yeah, with that said, anything you'd like to say before we head out?
Just everyone enjoy the rest of your weekend and come back and listen to Sports with Legend every Saturday at 11 on the Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you heard the man. Check out his show, IMAC. Should be coming later tonight at 11, right, you said?
Or 10? Yep, at 11 tonight, hopefully.
7.
I'll keep you posted.
Special day and time. So, you know, check it out. It's usually Saturdays at 10. And, of course, this show over here, Sports Urban Legend, usually comes on every Saturdays at 11, only on Block Talk Radio. So, you know, hopefully we'll see you again this upcoming Saturday at 11. But with that said, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for checking out this special Sunday night episode of Sports Urban Legend. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm Wayne Remmel, and I'll see you guys on Saturday. Peace.